was in college, I worked for JCPenney's in the credit catalog and customer service department. For anybody who's ever worked in retail, you might know that that's the big long desk usually at the back of the store where if you have any troubles, you go. Usually you've tried the other locations in the store and you're looking for somewhere else to go when you find your way there. Perhaps you want to pick up your store or catalog returns. You wind your way through the lines. Perhaps you've got something to do with your charge card that you need to get figured out. Or you want gift wrapping. We did that as well, and you patiently wait on the line. Or you have the traditional customer service needs. Generally, folks were happy to wait on the line. And behind the register was a warehouse of received catalog orders and the returned items. Now, most of the catalog items came in boxes or bags that were really carefully sealed and labeled, and we could only tell what they were by how they were labeled. But our most exciting packages were the large items, the area rugs and the floor lamps and the furniture. You got a view of what people were going to get because they couldn't be wrapped up very well. One day, as we were unpacking a shipment, something caught my eye. It was a very elegant off-white chair. And I imagined this piece would be in a living room or in a library. The chair was saran wrapped on a pallet, and as we took it off, I noticed there was a chip off the paint on the arm. It must have happened in the transport somehow, as careful as folks are. This happens sometime. And we would offer a percentage off to the customer. It was standard procedure. You know how the robocalls work. The customer would get a call on the first day and on the next week and so on and so forth. Week after week, I noticed this chair was still waiting in the warehouse for the customer who ordered it to come pick it up, even though they were reminded once, twice, three times. It waited in the warehouse for the better part of a month. So my manager, as was the procedure, was ready to pack the chair up and send it back when she noticed that I occasionally sat in the chair. She decided it would be just as cost effective to offer the chair to me. With the chipped paint reduction, the employee discount, and 10%. Thrown in just for good measure. It was still more than I had paid for anything at this point, except for my car. I took the money out of my savings account for the first piece of furniture I ever bought outright. And I took it back to my mother's home, put it in my little bedroom. From my original purchase to now, it has lived in 9 different homes, and it reminds me every time to give thanks. It's something I've loved sitting in. Every time I sit in it, I kind of pause and give thanks. We've since fixed the chip on the arm. It no longer has that original place where the paint was needed, but it allows me to give thanks in all circumstances. I thought of that chair with the first letter to Thessalonica that we heard today that Sue read for us. It was Paul's first letter, most scholars believe, written in the early 50s, not so very, very long after the death of Jesus. And the apostle wants the church plant at Thessalonica to thrive. He wants them to remember everything that they've been taught. previously in this chapter, he speaks about the imminent coming of Christ, giving those believers in Thessalonica encouragement and hope, even though challenges are inevitable. He didn't want them to be surprised. He wanted them to be sober and to be aware. In fact, in the verses that come before this, in verses 4 and 5, he says, "Beloved, you are not in the darkness. You know that a day would surprise you like a thief, but you are children of the light and children of the day, not like the night or the darkness." He goes on and he says, "Do you know how to prepare for this? Do you know how to get ready for the here and now as well as the then and there?" He says, "Admonish the idlers. Encourage those who are faint of heart. Help the weak. Be patient with all of them." That sounds terribly challenging, but be patient with them anyway. "Always seek to do good to one another. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Don't quench the spirit. Don't despise the words of the prophets. Test everything. And hold fast to that which is good." Today, while we could focus on the whole of what he said, we're going to zone in on the "give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So God's will and way is gratitude for you. God's will for you is gratitude. Wow, if we embrace that, how would we actually live differently? I want to notice with you that the passage doesn't say "give thanks for all things." It doesn't say everything's wonderful. Give thanks for absolutely everything. It says "give thanks in all things." It doesn't say "give thanks for the times of trial and challenges that you've had in your life." Instead, it says, look within those moments. Within those moments, is there something you can give thanks for? God is already present. Once we learn gratitude, we teach gratitude. We pass our gratitude to God on, so that others too might know who God is. Giving thanks is contagious. When we hear one person expressing gratitude, we want to join in the same way. I love this part when his daughter is placed in that gratitude chair. We learn too from those around us. And we want to have that same kind of gratitude, attitude, and heart. The Greater Good Science Center at the University of Southern California in Berkeley has led the charge on research on the effects of gratitude on the body. You all know this. Body, mind, and spirit. Studies by Emmons and his colleague McCulloch suggests that gratitude strengthens our immune system, lowers our blood pressure, reduces symptoms of illness, makes us less bothered by aches and pains, to say nothing of the call that God has for us to become grateful individuals. It encourages us to exercise more, to take better care of our health. It actually gives us better sleep. Looking forward to that part. Spending less time falling asleep, feeling more refreshed upon awakening, and allows us to count our blessings instead of sheep. Gratitude makes us more resilient. The studies have shown it helps those recover from traumatic events, including victims of natural disasters, and those living in places of conflict as well. Gratitude strengthens relationships. It makes us feel closer to our friends and our family, as well as in relationship with God. When we express and feel gratitude for one another, we become more satisfied with our relationship on this level, horizontally, as well as our relationships vertically with God. You know, you and I are a people of habit. That's why we all often come and sit in the same seats in worship. It's no surprise that we do this. We want to know who sits around us. We want to know when they're here and when they're not here. And we want to be known as well. We want to celebrate when they're here, and we want to reach out when they're not. Did you know that it takes 21 days to make a habit, to create a habit that sticks with us? 21 days for a habit to take hold. So I want to invite you today to make a new habit. It may be something you already do, but if not, I want to invite you on this journey with me for a habit. To starting today, give thanks to God every day. If we start today, 21 days takes us right into Advent. It's coming quickly, to December 8th. So starting today, I invite you to think of a chair in your home. Maybe it's your kitchen chair. Maybe that's where you like to sit. Maybe you have an easy chair where you like to put your feet up and relax. Maybe it's a desk chair, the kind that swivels around and you do some of your work at, check your email. Maybe it's a straight back chair, the kind that you can push up from very easily. Think of a chair in your house where you like to sit, one where you wouldn't mind sitting for just a few moments. A chair that you can imagine yourself sitting for 3 minutes. Not a very long time. 3 minutes. 3 minutes where you can give thanks to God. Give thanks to God for family and friends. Give thanks to God for your health or for health providers who are walking with you on a health care journey. Give thanks to God for food and your home. And then let that chair, whatever chair it is, be with you throughout the day. And whenever you happen to see it, I don't imagine it's exactly like the man we saw in the video, but let it be an invitation to thank God throughout the day. The Thanksgiving chair is something that can be done by those who were up here at the moment for all ages, the little ones, as well as those who are a few years older, those of us who are very able and those of us who are differently abled, those of us who've got lots of free time and those of us who are penciling lots of things into our calendars. So take a moment to sit and give thanks. Thank God for being with you, even if you can't thank God for the specific circumstance. We thank God in all things, not necessarily for all things. You could sit in the chair in the morning or in the midst of the day. You could sit in the chair right before you go to bed. May giving thanks in all circumstances shape you as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, with a healthy heart and with relationships that reflect God's incredible goodness. This, my friends, is the good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.